Well, friends, the Exodus had been pretty amazing, hadn't it? Moses, in glory, brings them out. There are huge plagues, there's fireworks, there's battles, and God wins the day, and they are brought out of Egypt. It's the great story of redemption. The great story of liberation in the Old Testament is that of the Exodus. You ought to know it well, and of what God did through Moses in that time. But interestingly, as life goes on for Moses and for this new nation, being a believer is not always fireworks. Being a believer is not always breakthroughs and miracles. Sometimes there are just slow years, plodding years. And now we find ourselves, as we go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, you may want to have it open on page 125. We are at the end of Moses' life. There's a lot of water under the bridge. And this book of Deuteronomy are Moses' final words, his final summons to God's people. And so it's important because if Moses is important, then Deuteronomy must be important, his last words. What's about to happen is, let's just look at how the book opens. This wasn't part of our reading. But chapter 1, verse 1, these are the words Moses spoke to Israel in the desert of east of the Jordan. And then it goes on to give the names of a few specific towns. It opens by actually humiliating God's people. There's an embarrassment in verse 1. The embarrassment's in the geography, and it's pretty basic. Picture in your mind, Egypt is in the north of Africa. Where's Israel? Israel is like north, or maybe northeast, but it's north. If God's people were meant to come out of slavery and go to the promised land, if they were to go in a straight line, which border of the promised land would they hit first? They're traveling south to north. They would hit the southern border of Israel. But actually, Moses, at the end of his life, says, you're not in the land. In fact, you're on the eastern border. Something has gone wrong. Something has gone terribly wrong for God's people. And to add to the embarrassment, look at verses 2 and 3. Moses says, it only takes 11 days to get from where you were at Horeb, that's where they, another name for Sinai, where they got the Ten Commandments, to get to Kadesh Barnea, the southern border of the promised land. How long did it take them, the 11-day journey? Well, where are we now? The time is, verse 3, the 40th year. What should have taken 11 days has taken 40 years. That's embarrassing for God's people. What are they going to do about it? Well, Deuteronomy is really Moses, God through Moses saying, it's time. It's time to take possession. It's time to stop wandering with God, to stop drifting with God. It's time to receive the fullness of what God has intended for you. It's time to move ahead with God. Deuteronomy is going to take God's people. It's going to remind them of some of their failures, and it's going to remind them of the greatness of God. And I think from the outset, we could name a spiritual principle here, and this is it. You cannot go forward in your spiritual life without two things. One, reflecting on God's word, because Moses is here to expound the law. And secondly, you must be able to, in light of God's word, reflect on your own journey. You must be willing to look at your mistakes. You must be willing to think about where things went wrong for you, where you failed to follow God's word. This doesn't mean, by the way, that Moses is going to rub their faces in some of their sins before they were kind of believers. In fact, there's very little here, say, for example, about their sins of the golden calf and stuff like that. The focus is more on the mistakes they have made on the journey with God. So it's not like God is holding things against us from when before we were saved. But the mistakes you make as a Christian kind of matter more because that they're experiences in your life where you were walking with God, but you failed to trust God fully. And unless you can deal with those, you will continue to make the same mistakes. We are very much like the people in Israel in Deuteronomy, because we are on a journey to a promised land. We have been rescued by a savior, but we have not received fully all that we've been rescued for. When Jesus returns, heaven is our promised land, isn't it? Eternal life is our promised land. But we're on a journey and we're trying to receive all that God has for us. And it's a hard journey. And so we can learn from Moses' charge in Deuteronomy. So they're in the desert. They've been wandering. And they're on the eastern border, not the southern border. It's a little bit like if you were driving to Sydney. And we drove to Sydney on my holiday and we went to Wagga Wagga. That's what you would call a two-hour scenic route to get around to Sydney. It's not on the most direct path. But if you find yourself travelling and you're in Orange or Bourke or something like that, or you cross the Queensland border, you're no longer going to Sydney. Like, it's really, really bad. And so that's what Moses is saying to them. How did you get into this situation? They've gone the slow way to the promised land. But interestingly, I think implicitly in this story is the truth that even when we are drifting, God is with us. Even when we are avoiding and wandering, God is still with us and does not give up on us. However, now is the time, says Moses, to receive all that God has in store for you. And so, friends, I say to you today, let 2017 be the day that you move ahead in Christ. If you have been in your walk with God in idle, if you've been drifting, if you've just been going around in circles, going through the motions, let this year be the year of coming to God's word and reflecting, reviewing, trusting God deeper, repenting of when you didn't trust him in the past. Deuteronomy says it's never too late. Not even 40 years is too late to start taking God seriously. Join a growth group. Do the Alpha course. Start praying habitually. Start reading God's word habitually. Moses especially highlights the power of the word of God. The whole book is described in verse 5 as, east of the Jordan in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law. The law of God reveals the character of God. The law of God reveals the holiness of our God, the greatness of God, and all that he demands of us. So the law was given at Sinai or Horeb 40 years ago, and Moses says that is the key. The word of God you were given is the key to entering the promised land. So Moses says, Moses expounds the law, and part of the expounding is he says, you've stayed long enough at this mountain, break camp and cross the border. Break camp and cross the border. Are you willing, friends, to do that? To try something new for God in 2017? To be faithful before God in an area of your life where you have previously been disobedient, to choose a path of 100% trusting obedience in 2017? It's quite challenging, isn't it? Actually, it's quite scary to follow God to offer him your very self and all your life. I recently heard of this new acronym that's being used in leadership circles. It comes from the American military. It says, we need to learn how to live in VUCA times. And VUCA is V-U-C-A, and it stands for, we live in times that are volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. If you want to follow God wholeheartedly, to grow into Christ in 2017, then it will mean stepping into some increased volatility and uncertainty and complexity and ambiguity. It's safe for Israel to stay in the desert. It's safe for them just to coast in circles like they have been. But Moses says, break camp. It's worth it. Take what God brought you out of Egypt for. Receive the promises of God given to Abraham. It's for you now, 40 years later. Friends, it's worth it. I know how much I love comfort, and I don't want to take a risk, but it's worth it, says God. Just by way of illustration, we did go camping straight after Christmas on our holidays at Murrindindi, which is just north of Kinglake, and we went to one of those campsites where you can't pre-book a spot. It's first in, best dressed. And so we got there on the Thursday before the New Year's weekend, and surprisingly, there weren't many people there. And so we got the pick of the spots, and we picked out this beautiful spot, and we set up our four-bedroom tent, and we've never had it fully set up. Got all the equipment set up, got all the beds set up, ate dinner. Everything was perfect, and we're just sort of going to bed, right? So everything is comfortable. You know, we love comfort, even camping. But little do we know, there's a big storm. And you may remember the Thursday before New Year's last year, there was a very big storm. In fact, the storm was so big that we found out later that the ranger had been around the day before saying to people, please leave. It's a big storm coming. We didn't know that. And so I'm just like trying to sort of start going to sleep, and it's bucketing down. And I'm just keeping an eye on, you know, is the tent dripping? Is the roof dripping? And we had the fly up, and it's great stuff, you know. It's working, you know. It's well made in China, and it's working, this cheap tent. And so I was very comfortable, but we started to notice that the floor of the tent started to be like a waterbed. Remember the 1980s, the waterbeds? The floor of the tent, everything was just like this. We're on a boat with Jesus. And I thought the ceiling's definitely waterproof, but I'm not sure the floor is waterproof. And where we had put the tent was flooding, like it was flooding about, you know, really quite deep. So we had a choice, really. We could dig our heels in and stay comfortable, but we had to break camp. And we had to enter into the volatility and getting the kids together and emptying everything and pulling the pegs out and lifting it up as a group and carrying it to dry ground. But after we did that, we had a great night's sleep, and it was worth it. You know, it was worth entering into that risk of breaking camp to be on high ground. Friends, if you have been drifting with God, it's worth taking a risk of just doing something new for Christ in 2017. It will be worth it, even though it may cause volatility. If you do the Alpha course, you may have a harder year for doing the Alpha course because there'll be opposition and there'll be people who don't like you learning about Christ and don't like you changing, and they'll be holding you back. But that's okay. It's worth it, says Moses, to enter what God has promised you. Don't repeat the pattern of drifting. Because essentially drifting, loving comfort, is a form of spiritual cowardice. It's cowardly. And so Moses, actually in Deuteronomy, the first four chapters, Moses, their pastor, tells them stories to remind them of how cowardly they've been. And let's just look at one of those stories quickly. The story of when they first hit the southern border. And so Moses says, let's have a flashback. Let's go back 40 years. And this was today's reading. You reach the hill country south of Israel, and you sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. Moses thought, this would be good. They'll send out spies. They'll see how good it is. And they'll come back and march straight in faith, in courage. But of course, the people send the spies. And they do come back and say the land is good. But they're also, some of the spies spread cowardice. And they spread a sense of fear. And in the end, What stopped them receiving the promised land 40 years earlier? They didn't trust God. All they can think about are the obstacles. So verse 26 says, Moses reminds them as their pastor of their mistakes that they still haven't dealt with. You were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, "The Lord hates us." So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. I mean, isn't that just wicked? They're actually saying, you know, our God just wants to hurt us. He brought us out of Egypt to hurt us. You know, they're maligning the character of God to excuse, to prop up their sense of comfort. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart, they say. And all they can think about are the obstacles. The people over the border are stronger and taller and bigger than us, and they've got high walls. And we even saw the Anakites, who I don't know who they are. Maybe they're like Collingwood supporters. I don't know. Moses, on the other hand, at that time said to them, it's almost like saying, don't focus on the obstacles. Think of who your God is. Listen to his logic. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very own eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reach this place. The secret, I think, from moving from cowardice and fear to trusting God and taking risks to receive all that God has for you is to focus on your redemption, is to focus on for them, it's the Exodus. For us, it's our redemption in Christ Jesus. The more that you can focus on not your obstacles, but on the fact that Jesus left heaven to die on a cross for you, to shed his blood, God's one and only Son, and that he conquered death, is there really anything that is going to be able to harm you now? Is there really anything that would make you doubt that God loves you or has your best interest at heart, that he would send his one and only Son to die for you? Do you see, you're so perfectly redeemed. That is the fuel for your courage to take risks for God. Have you ever lost heart? Have you ever wondered whether God has it in for you? Any time that you have sinned and disobeyed the Bible, you've really said to yourself, I know better than God. I know what the pleasures I want, and the Bible is going to make me miss out. You know, that's not right. God is on your side. His word is for your good. The Israelites took their eyes off God and wandered for 40 years. Friends, remember your rescue. Remember Jesus. God's Son has died for you and risen for you. Your eternity is secure in him. Be willing to face your old fears to follow God because his Son died for you. At that time, they didn't learn that lesson, and so Moses says, culpably, in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who did go ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and cloud by day. And so this is why, friends, the 11-day journey has taken 40 years, because God disciplined a whole generation. He said in verse 35, he swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. This is why they're on the eastern border, not the southern border. This is why 40 years have passed and nothing has happened. They've been wandering under God's discipline. Friends, we do not want to be like that generation. We want to be like the next generation that Deuteronomy is now addressing, saying, enter everything God has in store for you. Receive every promise God has for you. So friends, let me ask you three questions about your coming year. And these are three questions I want you to reflect on for today and maybe in the coming weeks. Question one, Do I want to move forward in my relationship with Christ? Do I generally want to move forward with Christ? Number two, am I willing to reflect on my previous journey with Christ and on the things where I let him down, right, where I feared man rather than God? And the third question, so one, do I want to move forward with Christ? Two, am I willing under the word of God to reflect on my past mistakes and repent of them? And three, am I willing to take that step of courage to cross the border and do something new for Christ in 2017? If you say yes to those questions, I'm not promising a comfortable year. I can almost guarantee increased volatility. I'm not promising that it will be easy. In fact, it'll be quite hard maybe. But friends, the good news of Deuteronomy is that God is ready and waiting and willing and with you to work on these things. As you try and renew your trust and love for Christ, God is ready and waiting. Deuteronomy says, even 40 years of drifting is not too long to decide to take God seriously. The God who rescued you is the God who carries you and is the God who will bring you into full maturity in Christ. So will you take a risk for Christ this year? Let's pray that we would. Heavenly Father, you alone know what this year holds for us individually and as a church. And I pray that together we'll be willing to grow into maturity in Christ, to grow in your word, the Bible, to grow using this great letter of Deuteronomy, and that you would train us this year, that you would rehabilitate us to grow into Christ more fully. Please, Father, do the surgery we each need and we need as a church. And we pray that as we know you are with us, as we know Christ is risen from the dead for us, we will confidently take risks for you this year. Amen.